Welcome everyone to today's webinar. I'm Serafina Fronja and I will be your moderator. A brief note on using GoToMeeting, you've joined audio automatically via the mic and speakers option. To join by phone, please select Use Telephone in your audio window. Our topic today is When Every Click Counts, an insider's view of the Sitecore Online Marketing Suite. This webinar will provide a step-by-step demonstration on how to leverage Sitecore's Online Marketing Suite to profile content, track conversions, and more to create personalized web experiences for your site visitors. Join the discussion on Twitter at #EveryClick, or feel free to submit questions at any time during the presentation in the dialog window on your webinar toolbar. At the end of the presentation, we'll cover as many questions as we can while staying within our promised time allotment of 1 hour. Please note, if you have colleagues who can't make this presentation, we are recording it, and we'll send everyone a link afterwards to the PowerPoint slides and audio recording. The recording will also be available shortly on Sitecore.net. Please allow me to introduce our presenter today, Darren Gornacha. Darren is a broad technologist with a deep understanding of the web from multiple perspectives. He has been the director of technology for a large financial company. He has run e-commerce operations for a large regional consulting organization. And he has served in senior product marketing positions for web software companies. Darren is VP of Product Marketing for Sitecore, a leading web content management software company. Darren is blending these multiple perspectives, IT implementer, decision maker, and product expert, in his presentation today. Welcome, Darren.
Thank you, Serafina, and welcome, everyone. Today, we are going to talk a little bit about when every click counts and how the Sitecore Online Marketing Suite really helps you leverage just about every click on your website. The idea behind this session is to give you a broad overview of what we've tried to achieve with the Online Marketing Suite, and then very quickly get down to action. And actually, more of this is going to be a show than a tell. I'm going to take you through the product, show you how it works, explain how each of these concepts comes back to you, and how it bears on your web strategies and your web initiatives. So just a brief word about who Sitecore is for those of you who are new to us. Sitecore is a leading provider of enterprise-class .NET web content management and portal software in the mid to large organization space. What does that mean? That means that we build the technology that can power your website, and not only just the content of your website, but really everything about your website and all of your online marketing initiatives. We have offices around the world and over 1,800 clients with over 22,000 websites in production. We've been vetted and recognized by all the industry analysts and partners around the world. Our what I call our NASCAR slide. We have some of our representative customers from the very large to the very small and everything in between. So Sitecore has certainly been out there for quite some time, and we have implemented our technology and just about every industry out there. Now, I say this because a lot of the feedback we've gotten in over the years has come from just about every kind of organization, and it's this sort of learning that has led us to where we are today, and that is with the announcement of Online Marketing Suite earlier this year. We really brought together two very distinctly different worlds. We brought together traditional web content management, which is really the editing and management of the copy, the content, the structure of your site. And what we looked at, and after talking to our customers and prospects and understanding where the marketplace was going, we came to the conclusion that that's not enough anymore. And in fact, every one of you is looking to find ways to improve the results of your website, not just publishing more content. And so to that end, we added in web analytics and web profiling, lead automation and management, campaign management, web optimization and testing, and even customer experience management to allow you to shape and direct customer experiences with your customers online. And I'll just very quickly just talk about why we did that. If you think about what the usual technologies are brought together on any given website, this is a pretty good representative set, from web content management to analytics, optimization, campaign management, what have you. You may have some other things on this list as well, but this is what we see time and time again. Now, here's the problem. As you start to bring all these disparate technologies together, it can get to be a bit of work. So you take your web content management, your site, and you start to put analytics on it, and then you want to do email marketing and track the email marketing experience. Then you want to start to understand how people are searching for things on your site, and you have to integrate that with your website and your analytics. And then community, same problem. You have to integrate that with your analytics and your website. Optimization, Same idea. You need to understand how that's impacting your web experience and analytics, and so on and so forth. Lead tracking, same story. Tie that into your CRM analytics because you want to understand that customer experience across all of these channels. And what happens is ultimately this becomes such an overwhelming amount of effort, you don't do it. And so, you know, what the idea behind the online marketing suite and these types of technologies is to really streamline all of these systems and start to package them more into a single integrated experience so you can manage your customer across all of your digital channels. And so what we have is an online marketing suite that really inherits all of this functionality and then just tightly couples with your CRM system. At the end of the day, that's where all your customer data is, and that's where you really want to manage the customer data. And that's the idea behind the online marketing suite. The idea that we're trying to solve, too, is this idea of the chasm, the actionability chasm, as we call it, and that is that all the things you learn about these applications, like these analytics applications, you learn all these things on the right-hand side of the screen, you know, what kind of performance you're getting, maybe find some problems, measure your campaigns, track your leads, but you have to go somewhere else, usually your web content management system, to go implement those things. And so we thought, this is a big problem for people. They're not getting this stuff done, and the reason is because they're in completely different systems. And you oftentimes don't understand how these reports translate to your actual website. So it really gets in the way of achieving better results on your web, and that was the thing that we really want to try to overcome with an integrated solution like the OMS. So today I'm going to really talk about, you know, how to get more with your website, and we talk about this in terms of a maturity model and how complex and sophisticated you get. And you can be really anywhere on this model. We've all started with just basic content management and the core web content management concepts. And I'm sure that many of you have some analytics at some point, whether it's free Google Analytics or you bought something. And that may or may not give you traffic analysis and some limited sets of even understanding the customer experience itself. But what we're going to really talk about today and where I'm going to focus most of my time today is around these concepts, content profiling and customer profiling, and what that can tell you and how you can use it on your site to improve your site. I'll talk about conversion tracking and how you can use that to improve the experience and your effectiveness of your site. And then that leads into campaign management and then testing and optimization and how you can continuously optimize and test your messaging. And then that nicely leads into the idea of segmentation and segmenting your visitors, which ultimately leaves the holy grail of real-time personalization. Now notice, real-time personalization is the very last thing. The reason that's true is because you need to understand your customers before you can actually personalize. It's like a conversation. You can't just start talking at someone before you understand what they're interested in and what they're concerned about. Much like when you walk into a store, that salesperson is going to ask you a handful of questions before they start to offer you anything. And I think that's something that people often misunderstand or underestimate, is this idea that you need to learn before you can actually proactively personalize. And so that's really why that comes as the last step. So let's jump right into it, because I have a lot of the way this is going to work is I'm going to talk about a concept, I'm going to set it up with a slide or two, and I'm going to jump right into the product, and I'm going to show you what I mean by that in the actual product itself. So the first point is customer profiling, and what is customer profiling? The idea is this. If you could actually instrument your website and use every piece of content on your website to learn about that customer, and you can actually score and weight and attribute every piece of content to say, this is what this piece of content teaches me about that particular visitor. That idea, if you roll it up into an aggregate level, your entire site can become a customer intelligence engine for you and teach you all sorts of things you never knew about your customers. So in this example here, we have this little dialogue, and this is setting some attributes, some values on a particular customer. In this case, this piece of content is a very IT-centric piece of content, so they're probably an IT person, maybe slightly less so an executive and not so much a marketer. And so these are the three scores that we're going to assign to this person when they come to our website and they look at this particular piece of content. So the idea is the person comes to our website, they visit us, and we immediately build a customer profile. And we can also start to, the OMS automatically can look up your geography and actually even look up some of your company information and give you some of that information as well. So they come to our website, and they land on a page, and immediately we resolve what company they work for, what country they live in, and, of course, we start to profile them. We start to attribute some lead scoring values, some marketing segmentation, executive segmentation. But then, in this case, they hit a landing page, and they didn't actually sign up. Instead, they bounced off of that, and they went and they started looking at other content. And they started looking at a piece of content that's very executive-oriented. This one's a piece from Gartner. And so we get a strong executive value. And as I look at the different kind of content, you can see that profile evolving and changing and adding different numbers. And as I look at that different content, I start to behave in particular ways, like I search for the word pricing. Pricing is a big indicator saying that this person's very serious. So as a sales readiness indicator, a lead score can tell you how close these people are to being ready to engage with you as a sales organization. So the idea is by watching their behavior, by watching the content that they're consuming, you can get a very strong profile of the kind of person this is. And in this case, it's likely an executive in the IT space. And they're showing some buying signs, and they're probably ready to engage. And this just by tagging and instrumenting your content in this way to use profiling, you can get a very rich view of your customers. So let's just talk about how we do that in the actual online marketing suite. So let's just open up a window here, and I'm going to take us to the site. This, for those who have never seen this, is what we call our NICAM website. It's a little fictitious camera company, and they sell cameras and camera accessories. And so the idea here is I'm going to take you through a day in the life of someone just visiting the website. I am just a web visitor to this website, and as I start looking at products, I can see here that I've got a whole array of products. You'll notice in the top right-hand side here I've got this little component that says View Visitor Profile. This is just a clever way for me to show you what's happening behind the scenes. You really probably wouldn't see this in the real world. But if I open this up, you can see it's completely empty. There's nothing in there. That's going to fill up as I start to look at the different kind of content on my website. So I can drill down and just look at this advertisement here for this D3X camera and quickly get a view here of what this camera is about. And if I open up the visitor profile, I can see that it immediately is starting to profile me. It's guessing that I'm a professional. It's starting to see that I probably have a strong budget, and these are the kinds of camera attributes I'm looking for as I look at that. So let's continue to browse, and in fact, let's look at some other of these cameras. I'll look at this D200 and see that, okay, that's an interesting camera. And maybe look at some of the more easier-to-use cameras, maybe some of these D40s, and maybe let's look at that D60 here. Now let's go take a look again at my profile and see what it's telling me now. Well, it still thinks I'm a professional. The vote's out still on whether I'm a man or a woman, because it still can't quite figure out. I'm looking at content that's really appealing to both of them. But it starts to get some idea about who I am and starts to make some assumptions about the kinds of things that I'd be interested in and starts to profile me over time. And this is a particularly important concept, because we're going to see this throughout the rest of the session of why this is important. But let's just take a quick moment and see, how do I manage that? And for that, let's just open up the Sitecore content management system, and this will show you how you actually edit that. So now I'm logged into the Sitecore CMS. Looks the same, except I have a nice little bar across the top that lets me edit content and design pages. So let's drill down to that same page here, that D3X, and let's take a look at how we built that page. And why that page, one of the scoring elements, or how that content is being profiled. And that will give us a pretty good indication of how all this works, because every piece of content on this particular site was profiled by their authors. So I'm going to click on the Edit button. It's going to open up that page for editing. For those of you that have never seen Sitecore, the way you edit content itself is simply by mousing over the page and typing in the page. It's all inline editing. But we're going to actually start to work with the Profiling tab. So we'll open up the Analyze tab here in the Sitecore ribbon, and we'll click on the Profile Values. And so by doing that, we can manage how this particular page is being profiled. We can see that when someone looks at this particular product, it's more likely to be a man than a woman. So we'll check the mailbox. And we can see here that this particular product is scored heavily as a professional camera, and maybe slightly so a semi-professional. And that's where the scoring is coming from. So as you are looking at different content and as you're measuring and viewing different content, this portfolio of profiling is automatically being accrued. Now, there's lots of other things I could have turned on, like what kind of shooting interest they may have. Is it portrait photography? or you know, what kind of shooting conditions am I looking for, something that can take a beating and what have you, so on and so forth, lead scoring. In this particular case, we're using an additive function because it makes sense to me that this should these numbers should be added up. But you can do averaging, you can do percentage scores. There's a whole array of different algorithms that you can use, and again, they're all configurable. But the idea here is it's very simple. You can configure what those categories are, and then you can immediately start setting values on content, and that's what's driving this profiling value score. Okay, so now let's jump back to our PowerPoint and let's go to the next topic. Okay, so that was profiling. Now let's talk about conversion tracking. Every website has a goal. Every website is driven to some point, whether it's a customer service site or it's a site that's selling something directly to consumers, or maybe it's a longer sale, a B2B site, or it could even be government. Every website has goals. You have something you want these people to do while they're on your website. So the idea behind goal tracking and conversion tracking is simply this. We're looking for those outcomes so we can track those visitors and those engagements to see which engagements are more successful so we can learn from our past history. Because the idea here is that we want to find the most successful engagements, find the attributes and the things about those people, perhaps the profile attributes or what have you, and then start to look how we can replicate that. So this person came to our website earlier, and he told his three coworkers about his experience, and so they come to the site, and we can start to learn all sorts of things about their experience as well. But what's really interesting is as we're capturing all this knowledge, we're also capturing what kind of conversion goals they're achieving. So in this case, after they've come to this website, marketing and sales can get a report that says, these are the people that came to the website from this company, and these are the things they did. These are the conversion goals we achieved. Now, let's just zoom in a little bit here and see that in this particular case, that person from this particular company got a brochure request, which is one of our goals. They logged into the site, and they registered. So they achieved three different conversion goals in one of our site's visits. And so we want to start to really understand what drives these people and what made that session so successful. So by tracking that, you can track what are your successful sessions, and you can prioritize prioritize your interactions with these people or offer them other things. We'll talk about personalization down the road, but the fact that we know what conversion goals they've achieved, we can say, well, you've achieved this conversion goal, so I want to move you to the next conversion goal, and you can actually sequence your conversion goals to move them closer and deeper into the funnel. And likewise, we can actually evaluate everything they did, every page they saw, and we can actually track what form values they typed into the web form, what conversion goals they had, and get a tremendous amount of detail about what's making these people tick. So let's talk about that next. Let's go back to our example a moment ago where we talked about, the D60 here. Oops. Let me switch over to my page editor here. So we're back here. So let's talk about conversion goals. Now let's give you an example first. The first thing I want to show is if I'm on this page, what does a conversion goal look like? Well, they can be anything. They could be I filled out a form. On this particular site, I want people to use the product finder. That's one of my conversion goals because I know that if they're searching for a product finder, I can learn some things about them. So let's say I come to this product finder and I'm looking for all the cameras that are that cost between $500 and $2,000. So I look at that list here and I say, okay, I really want to check out this S520. So I click on that. And now by going, now that I've clicked on it, I've achieved a conversion goal. So let's go take a look at what that looks like in my visitor profile. We can see at the very bottom of my visitor profile, my goals achieved were to select a product finder. Sometimes your goals are going to be having them look at a certain product or a certain special. Sometimes your conversion goals will be to get them to sign up for a webinar or maybe get them to do a dealer locator or maybe request help or talk to a salesperson. Really, your site's going to be different. The idea behind the OMS is that we have natively built in this notion of goals and events into the product so that we can tag any page you see or any event or anything you do automatically. In the case of our, if you're filling out a web form, our new Web Forms for Marketers will automatically let you select the goal that gets triggered the minute that they submit the form. I'll give you another example. If you want to just tag a particular page, you can do that very easily. And let's just take this example of the D3X page. When I go view this particular page, if I want to actually trigger this as a goal and say, I want when you hit this page, I want this to be triggered as a goal for my website, I again go back into the edit button here, and I can select from a list of goals what goals would get raised. So right next to that profiling button is a goals button. So out of the box, you can define all of your goals and then check what actual goals get satisfied when someone visits a given page. In this case, I had checked earlier that it would raise the review goal as that goal. I may say that when they hit this page, then they've registered for an event. I want to raise that goal for my site. So at any rate, you can define all sorts of goals and values and then track those in your actual session reports and know what sessions resulted in goals and even filter your sessions by sessions that achieve goals, because those will be the most valuable sessions on your site. Okay, so that's how you manage and control goals. You can manage them with forms. You can manage them with different applications. They could even search for the word pricing, and that can trigger a goal. All right, so let's go back to our PowerPoint and let's move on to the next topic, campaign management. Now, these two first points, profiling and conversion, are very important points, and they feed into the next point, which is campaign management. Most of you are running campaigns on a fairly regular basis, whether they're email campaigns, online advertising campaigns, maybe they're offline TV, radio campaigns. You're running an array of campaigns to drive traffic to your site with the ultimate goal of converting them into a customer or driving brand awareness. The idea behind the OMS campaign management functionality is this. In the product itself, we have the capability to manage campaigns. And so you can define campaigns in our marketing center to dictate what web experiences are tied back to a campaign. One of the biggest challenges with campaigns, as you know, is trying to figure out what campaigns performed and what kind of opportunities you got from what campaigns. That's the biggest challenge a marketer generally faces. So what we've done is incorporated the very notion of campaigns right into the content management experience. So in this case, you configure a campaign, and then you publish that campaign. What happens is Sitecore automatically creates a campaign ID and associates every session that would come in from that campaign. In this case, we put an ad out on some public website somewhere. When someone clicks on that ad, they immediately are brought back to the site, and that triggers a campaign, and then everything they do from then on out is associated to that campaign. So in this example, again, someone came to the website, they hit that landing page, but this time they filled it out. They gave us our address, they gave us their name, and then in addition to that, we're tracking everything they've done after that landing page, because let's say they continued to browse content. Well, we're taking all that profiling knowledge and all those conversions that we're getting from them, all those conversion goals, and we're actually associating all those things with that actual campaign. So what happens eventually is you get these very nice reports that give you some pretty good detail as to how that campaign is performing and what you're learning about these people. So in this case, here's a campaign summary report, and it's telling you of the 450 people that have come in on this campaign, here is exactly what they did. Here are the goals that they achieved. Here are the personas and profiles of those people that came back. And sometimes you might find that you have a great campaign that's just the right message to the wrong group. And you can start to learn what kind of people are coming in on that campaign based on that content profiling. And you can measure that maybe that was a really good campaign. Maybe the messaging was right, but you put it in the wrong place or vice versa. So this gives you a really strong opportunity to optimize your campaign messaging, to optimize your placement of those campaigns, and really continuously improve those and understand what's working and what's not. And again, you can drill into those campaign sessions and understand the full session detail of every single person who visited you for that campaign and really start to diagnose what did they do, what didn't they do, if they bounced, why did they bounce, and start to fine-tune that campaign so that you're improving the results of that campaign and you're improving the conversions coming out of that campaign, which is why you're doing them in the first place. So let's define how we do that. Now, what I'm going to show us now is the Sitecore desktop. Again, for those of you who are new to Sitecore, we have a handful of different look and feel, different UIs. The one we were working in before was our page editor, which is our in-context editing environment. This is our desktop application and looks just like a desktop. You can see here that I've got a little start button just like the Microsoft and Windows desktop. I have several applications running in a tray down below here. I'll open up the Marketing Center. And what you can see here is I can look at my campaigns. In this case, I've got a single campaign with two sub-campaigns. And this one particular campaign, I can look at. When I create a campaign, it automatically creates this campaign ID for me. So if I want to go put this campaign out there on some website somewhere, this campaign ID will let Sitecore know, let the online marketing suite know, this person's associated with this campaign and track everything they do back to me. Likewise, if I want to use a vanity URL, Sitecore supports that as well through our aliasing system. So I create a vanity URL, and then I can actually check that page and say that anyone who hits that page is also going to trigger that campaign, much like we did a moment ago with the goals. Now, once you've done this, now you want to see how your campaigns are performing. And for that, we're going to go look at the Sitecore Analytics application. And in that, we can see here that we have the campaign details. And again, like we saw a moment ago in the screenshot here, I can see how are my campaigns performing. In this case, here are the goals that of the 27 people that came in on this campaign. These are the kind of goals that they're achieving. These are the kind of personas that they've got. These are the profiling values that I've gotten from them. And I can really start to understand what values they're having. And you can start to actually measure your effectiveness in this campaign, including their lead scores. If you have a campaign that's running a very high lead score, that's an indication that these people are showing strong buying signals, and maybe that may have made numerically less leads. However, every one of those leads is so much more qualified that maybe that campaign is, after all, very successful. So giving you this level of integration, this is the stuff that, of yesterday that you'd have to integrate 5 or 6 systems, tie them all together, and by packaging all this up in one single online marketing suite, this is some of the value that we've been starting to create with the online marketing suite. Okay, so that's campaign management. Now, let's jump back to our PowerPoint, and let's go to the next topic. Testing and optimization, one of my favorite topics. Testing and optimization is a very important point. I think a lot of us put up content and think it's the best content we could possibly have. But time and time again, study after study has shown that often what we think is the best content and the most powerful, striking, resonating message isn't what is going to really drive our customers or our prospects. And we've found over and over again that when we put this out there and we test these, many times it's counterintuitive what is actually going to work best. Sitecore ourselves has learned this our own, the hard way. We've done testing and optimization, and every one of us on our team was just convinced that this one message would be the best message or the best image or the best text for a particular campaign or promotion. And we found out after running some tests against it that we were dead wrong, and the one we thought was least likely was actually the most successful. So it's very counterintuitive, and my advice to you is to really do more of this. It's something that everyone wants to do more of, but no one does enough of. The idea behind testing, multivariate testing, or simply A-B split testing is this. You put up a bunch of versions of a piece of content, and then you rotate through that content and show that content to different users. In this case, we've got a multivariate test where we're actually splitting up the test and segmenting that test into a marketer and an IT, the marketing audience or the marketing persona and the IT manager persona. And we're giving them different messages because we know they're going to behave differently. We want to see the results at the persona level. And so we run the test. And what we're looking for is which test is actually driving people more closely to our goals. In this case, it's a simple goal like we want them to click. Goals could be far more sophisticated, like we want them to sign up, or we want them to do other sort of downstream actions. And you can track anything with multivariate testing against a goal, which is really the ideal thing to do because you're really looking for outcomes, not just clicks. So in this case, we see that for the IT manager, version 5 was far more powerful, and with the marketer, version 3 was powerful. And then from there, you place that content out there on the production site. Since the CMS is the same place as you're running the test, it's very easy to do that. You can place those very quickly onto your website, and once you have a high degree of confidence on that, everyone's different. Your level of statistical significance will vary, but at some point you will be comfortable with the number of tests you've run to feel that you can actually place this one version over that one version of content, and then just immediately stop the test and put that piece of content in place. And it literally is the stuff of minutes when it used to take weeks to months. All right, so how do we do that? Let's actually show that in the product. So I'm going to go back to my website here, and we're going to actually take a look at one of the tests that's being run on this little NICAM site here. So under the company section, we have an A-B split test that's actually running right here. If I were to open up a new session, I would see perhaps a red version or a gray version of this little guy right here. In the interest of time, I won't do that. But the idea here is that we want to test the different messages in the different colors and see which background, in this case, very simple, is working better. Now, the way we define those things is this. We want to measure multiple options. You can have 3 options. You can have 20 options. but we want to measure them. Every time someone comes to the site, we're going to randomly give them a different option. In this particular case, we've selected the algorithm that says it's the same version for your entire visit on the site. But if you come back tomorrow and try something differently, you might get a different version. But for this one session, keep it the same. We call that sticky. So we keep that sticky through the entire session. Now, over time, you run these tests, and what you get is a report that looks a lot like this. And this multivariate report will give us a breakdown of all the options that you had for this case. And in this case, we're running the color variance test. And we can see that the gray, red, and white were running. And what we're measuring is how often are we driving them to an outcome we want, conversion. So this is where we tie conversions into multivariate tests. A lot of the traditional multivariate tests and other products just measure click-through or things like that. We actually take it a step further. We'll actually measure the actual tests themselves. Now, how do you build these things? Well, let's go back into our online marketing suite. We're going to actually go back in there and show how do we actually manage that. And to that, we will open up our Marketing Center again. So I'm back in the desktop. I'm looking at my Marketing Center again. And we can see here that I've got my little test lab down here. And here's my color variance report. Here are my three options. If I wanted to add a brand new option, I would just right-click and say insert new multivariate test variable. If I want to create a brand new multivariate test itself, I can also do that and just create a brand new multivariate test. So you define the options here. And once you define those options, then you just manage, you go to the actual piece of content itself on your website. In this case, we'll go to the company's page. And we can see here there's a gray version right here, that in this case, I want to manage that. So I'll go into the page designer. The page designer is what allows me to manage the elements and components and structure of the page. And I'll look at the right-hand column here, and I can see that I've got my flexible personalization spot that I've built. If I look at the properties of that, I can see that that I've got my color variance test that's turned on. So if I wanted to put another one to production, I could see multiple different tests I could run in this particular location, or I can go to another area of the site and actually turn this on for a given piece of content. And once I'm finished and I'm happy with the tests, then all I have to do is select that content and put it into production, pick the right data source, and I'm done. So very straightforward, very easy to implement, very easy to test, and then when you're done and you're happy with it, you just point it to the content you liked, and you're done. So that's multivariate testing. And of course, you can have multiple tests running on one page. You can actually see the cross product. You can have a handful of those, and that's where the multivariate nature comes in, where I can see multiple different iterations, multiple different tests, see different combinations of those tests, and see which ones are the most successful from a goal standpoint, because that's what we're really after. We're after outcomes and goals. Okay. So now, let's talk about visitor segmentation. Visitor segmentation is really the idea of starting to split up and understand different types of visitors and different types of people and their behaviors of each of those different types of visitors. Sitecore OMS has a facility for defining different kinds of audience segments. Now, your typical segmentation you'll find in most web analytics packages are often geography-based. Maybe people who have spent some money on a website, if you go look at the different types of things. But the ones they don't do very well is this idea of that persona or that the profile. And the information we learned earlier about segmenting people on, are you a marketer? Are you a technology person? Are you in this vertical or are you in that vertical? It has traditionally been very hard for analytics packages to get to that level because they don't have the native profiling engine built into them like the Sitecore OMS. So what we can do is, and we'll open up here, let's go back to our desktop, and we'll go take a look at that Marketing Center again. What we can do is we can actually create filters that actually break down not only geography, but we can break down visitor types. Are you a business? Are you an analyst? Are you one of our partners? Are you a competitor? Are you a marketer? All those different kinds of segments that you may have. And then you can apply those segments and start to drill in and segment out the different kinds of people that you want to look at. So as an example here, if I were to drill into some of the recent activity, and we'll just take a look at organizations, people that come from companies, and we can see that if I want to look at this particular visit from this company called Adorama, I can drill in and I can understand what's going on with that visitor And what are they doing? Now, I can programmatically assign segments to this visitor. I can take their profiling values and put them in different buckets, and I can filter those things down because I can see all the visitors from different kinds of segments by using my filtering mechanism in the reporting. And I can see here, in this case, I'm filtering out the people who don't work for me and that aren't a web crawler and are not an ISP. But I can also drill in and say that they also happen to be one of our prospective customers or a customer in a particular industry vertical. And by filtering them down by persona and by segment, we can get some very strong feedback on exactly what these people are doing. I can also allow my sales teams in certain settings to actually classify these people as well. These reports can be delivered to salespeople. And the salespeople can actually classify these people and say, you know, I don't really think that this is a business partner. You know, I really think these guys are a supplier, or maybe they work for the press, or they're an analyst, or maybe they're an existing customer. And I can reclassify them into different segments. And so you can also use your sales organization and your marketing organization to start classifying high-value visitors and actually even start to segment and treat them differently as well. So that's segmentation. Now, the last and of course, my favorite is, and I'm just going to skip through that, is personalization. So personalization is something that people often want to start with, but I really think you should end with it. Personalization, as a technology, has been around for quite some time. I think the challenge has always been, what do I personalize on, and how do I use personalization? And in fact, we had just finished offering a new white paper called Molding the Customer Experience that's on Sitecore.net. It's a good read, and it helps you understand how profiling and personalization can come together and how you can get started, and I really strongly suggest you read that. But one of the things I will tell you is that if your website is a tool that lets you learn about your customer, then one of the things that we all should be thinking about doing is discerning why that customer's on our website. What is their goal for the day? What business challenge or what consumer need or what service need do they have? And I have a simple scenario here that allows you to say, a customer came to your website, and we're looking for what are their concerns, what are their drivers. In this case, let's call it a business-to-business sale. And so as part of their browsing history, that profiling kicks in, and we start to see that based on their browsing patterns, that some of their concerns today are staff training and project risk, as an example. We'll use the Sitecore example. And so we ask them, well, what are your top challenges? So we explicitly ask them. We even back this up with a dynamic poll and ask them the question, what are your big concerns? And they confirm the two things we figured out from implicit tracking, and they added another one around training and cost of implementation. So from there, we can start to nurture them. And this is really nurture marketing, the ability to start to overcome those concerns and overcome those with content. This is content marketing, helping understand what are their concerns or issues and starting to offer them maybe white papers, maybe case studies that are relevant to them. And while you may call this content targeting, you may call this personalization, I call this lead nurturing. Because really at the end of the day, that's what personalization is. It's offering highly relevant, highly valuable information to the person in the context of what their issues are. And you will always get better engagement with your customers when you take the time to do that. Just like a good salesperson listens to you, personalization is your chance to really listen and respond to that customer on your website. So let's take a look at how do you manage personalization on your website. So let's assume that in our scenario, we want to build out a call to action that drives people to actually look at certain content and drives them to engage us in a certain way. So we're back to my website here, and we looked earlier on our profile. Let's just look at our profile again, and we can see here that we've got a lot of information here, and we want to see, this person is sort of kind of interested in landscape, but one of our initiatives is really to drive people to landscape photography because we know we have a lot of products that really resonate with landscape photographers. So let's close this up here, and we can see, remember, that this guy is offering us some offers around macro techniques. But if I were to start to look at articles that specifically talk about places to go, and particularly places like Greenland and maybe Palau and maybe Paris, and I go look at that profile again, okay, we've now looked at a bunch of landscape type photography places. You can see my landscape score is up to 23 now, and this is triggered that piece of content is now, instead of macro, it's now talking about shooting the Grand Canyon, and that's going to drive me into that kind of content that's going to make me interested in that kind of photography and then start offering me related products around that concept. Very simple example. But let's talk about how we actually edit that and manage that. So the business rules management in Sitecore is very straightforward. I'm going to go back to the desktop, and I'm going to take a look at my Marketing Center again. And so here we have my Marketing Center, and now I'm going to look at the personalization area in my Marketing Center. And so I'm going to look under the rules section here, under segmentation targeting, because I'm looking for that segment, right? I've figured out what my segments are, in this case, landscape photographers, and now I want to go look at a rule that I'm going to build for my landscape photographers. And in this case, let's just bring up the rules editor. And the rules editor looks a lot like the Outlook out of Office rules editor, and that's no mistake, right? That's a very simple way for us all to react. We do that all the time, to build these simple rules. So you have these conditions at the top, think if, then, else, and we can have a whole, we offer a whole variety of these out of the box, from geographical targeting to values in your profile, to where you come from, to what kind of segment you belong to, and everything in between. You can build your own as well. And so once you match one of these conditions, you can see here that each one of these values, if, like, say, I want to switch from the landscape value in my profile to architecture or photojournalism, I can change any of those values, greater than or equal to. I can set these values, and then I can decide where are they going to go. What content am I going to offer them? Am I going to offer them a different piece of content? Am I going to offer? Am I going to hide the whole thing? Am I going to change the look and feel of the site? Am I going to adjust their persona or their profile values? Am I going to dynamically adjust, how things are behaving? I can do all those things based on when these things are true. And you can have very complex things. This is a very simple rule, one statement here, but you can have as many as you like. So once you've built your rules, and you can see here that we have quite a few rules at play, now we have to go say, now we have the rule, let's go decide where that rule is going to show up. So if we go back to our example here, I can find the right window. Third time's a charm. If I find the right thing here, I'm going to go back to the products page, and that's where this little macro techniques guy was. I'm going to go back into my pages editor, just like we did with the multivariate testing. I'm going to go into that right column where we saw that where that guy was showing up, and it's that flexible personalization spot. I'm going to open that up, and we can see now I'm going to look at some of these personalization rules. And I can see here that I've got the landscape photographer rule that's waiting. It's just waiting for that profile. I can have multiple personalization rules all associated with this element. So you can define personalization at the item component level on your page and actually composite very rich experiences and then just apply or turn on or turn off different rules as it makes sense to you. And then you can also have multiple rules firing at the same time to give you an episodic or staggered story. So first they get this, then they get that, and as they view things or they achieve different goals, you can offer them other things, different calls to action. Of course, all of these can be security controlled as well. But the important thing here is you can really control the visitor experience. You can wait and understand about that customer. And once you know certain things about them, then you can engage with them. And then you can apply certain things. So that is personalization. And with that, I think we are at an end here. So I think I'll open this up for questions. Serafina.
Darren, we've got some great questions today. And I'd like to encourage you all to continue to submit questions either using the webinar toolbar or at Twitter hashtag EveryClick. If your question is not answered, we will follow up with you on an individual basis. The first question we have here is, what about high volume sites where looking at an individual visitor isn't reasonable?
That's a great question. And there's a couple of answers there. We do have some very high volume sites using this technology. It really depends on what you want to do. If you're not interested in understanding every single element, then in this particular case, we can actually dial back the amount of collection that you do, and so you can collect one out of every five, one out of every 10. You want some sort of statistically significant value to look at trends. You can still store all that data in the session in real time, so you can still personalize with that visitor. But the thing to realize is that machine hardware has come up to speed very, very quickly. We did some testing the other day that suggested that if you were to collect a roughly 45 to 50 million page views a year, and that would amount to less than a terabyte of storage. So the data structures aren't that big anymore. The storage mechanisms are very, very good. But if you're concerned, you can actually dial back how much, in this particular case, OMS stores, but still have all that data in the session to react to that customer and do that real-time personalization, or maybe optionally throw them away. The other way to handle that is with archiving. And so you'll be storing that on your production environments and then just be, at night, batching some of that data back so you can still have an archival data set that you're storing in case there's any reason you want to go back and actually look at those details. But there is a lot of value in those details. I can't stress that enough. There's a tremendous amount of value in keeping a lot of that data because you can get some particularly interesting things when you start to segment down to certain kinds of people and understanding that session-level detail.
Next question we have here from the Twitter hashtag is, what if your initial profiles are wrong? Will the OMS help identify different profiles of your customers than expected?
Yes. There's a couple ways to handle that. So let's say that, and I'm going to answer that in two different ways. The first way is you can start measuring and start explicitly asking. I use the example of the poll. One of the good strategies you can use is just use dynamic polling to validate some of your initial assumptions. And so you can use the OMS because the OMS will take all those poll data, all the poll data that a particular visitor answers, and they will push that right into those same reports. So if your poll data is saying one thing and your profiling data is saying nothing, something completely differently, and that's a very consistent thing, that can help you course correct, and you can adjust your data accordingly. Now, I think the other thing is what are you profiling and how do you profile? And that is a good question that you should be engaging with your sales teams, your customer-facing people, support and services people, and ask those people, what should I be profiling? And what you want to ask them is, what kinds of unique or interesting pieces of information could you give me could you ask of a customer that would help you service them or sell them more effectively? What is it that you use in your own daily sales and servicing lifetime that helps you get to a solution with your customer faster? And by picking those people's brains, that can be the data set that then leads to your profiling strategy. Again, I talk a lot about that in our white paper, and I encourage you to read it. But that's the other half, is start with the right data set. And then, of course, apply that more correctly, understand. There's an actual exercise on how to weight those things, but then use tools like surveying, like on the fly polling, and even dynamic polling to ask them some of those questions and validate some of those values.
The next question we have here has to do with explicit personalization. Does the OMS sync up direct information entered into an account, for example, such as gender, with personalization as the visitor moves through the site?
Yeah, so once... what you want to do is you want to connect those session profiles, the implicit profile, with the explicit profile. So the minute you log in, you should be associating those accounts together. And you certainly can do that. Zycor has always done explicit personalization. Now, everyone implements it slightly differently, so there's a variety of ways to tackle it. But yes, just like when I filled out a form and you saw all those data values coming in from the field, we have a whole tagging system that can let you reference an account against a session. So you can know that, let's say you spent 3 months accruing information about a particular visitor, and then on day 40 or day 91, they finally create an account or they sign up on your site. You can associate that account with everything you've ever learned about that person and create that connection so that you can pull and push that stuff back together. I didn't really talk about it very much in this session, but we also had this idea of connecting back to a CRM. All this data and all this knowledge you're learning about your visitors also should be synchronized back to a CRM, and we actually have handling in the product to actually make connections to that visitor to a CRM user. And so you can also create a three-way integration between the explicit profile, which is being driven by the CRM, and the implicit profile, and all that stuff should be also feeding that same account in the CRM. And that is, when you do that, you can get a tremendous amount of benefit because now your salespeople can look that up right in the CRM when they're talking to you, about your account, or they're engaging with you or prospecting. They can see all that in one single place.
We have another question here actually related to CRM. Can you feed profiled or high-profile leads directly into a CRM?
Yes, yes, absolutely. So we have two things. We have a CRM provider to the Microsoft Dynamics CRM. We've also got just a framework for how to build and connect two CRMs as well. There's also a Salesforce provider where you can actually be using Salesforce, and you can also use Microsoft CRM Dynamics to do the same thing. The CRM values themselves can be profile values. Now you can also, you know, the counter to that is you can actually trigger things into the CRM. Sitecore has this notion of a data provider, which is basically it can be a bidirectional connection to any third-party application. And so you can treat your CRM as a way to trigger events. Like, say someone hits a lead score of 200, automatically trigger a follow-up notice to a salesperson who owns that particular account. Because once you've made those connections between the web session and that CRM account, then you can have bidirectional integration and have things triggering in and out.
Next question we have here is, can you expand a bit on using OMS for B2B sites?
Sure. B2B, well, so there's a couple of attributes that make B2B different than, say, B2C. They tend to be a longer consideration cycle, so there's a lot longer of a sales process. There is usually a very defined sequence of steps that you go through. And so as customers come to your site and they're initially maybe vetting you or evaluating your technology, the OMS can immediately be connecting salespeople to those prospects. As an example, you could have reports going immediately to your sales reps for any visitor that comes to them in their territory. Since OMS can actually figure out where they're coming from, we can actually route leads. And so they can be getting reports on a nightly basis saying, these are the companies that have come to your website today. Now, the rep's not going to pick up the phone and call them right away because they're not ready yet. But the second more important thing is that you can start to do lead scoring. Because based on their actions and behaviors, what kind of brochures are they downloading, what kinds of buying signals are they showing you in the form of searches and consumption of content, shows you their sales readiness so that when they are ready, those same reports are showing that same sales rep when they might be ready for a phone call. Or maybe they're ready to reach out. And so that becomes a wonderful tool. Now, the other half of that is in that consideration cycle, that's in the front side of that process. On the back side of the process in B2B selling, it's also about nurturing that prospect along and making sure that you're giving them everything that they need. I'll give you a great example. Sitecore was in the middle of a very large software sale, and at one point the client just went completely dark on us. They stopped talking to us. And, of course, like any sales rep, they started to be concerned that maybe they had lost the opportunity. But by looking at the Online Marketing Suite reports, they were able to see that what the customer was really doing was their due diligence, and they were looking at executive bios, and they were looking up, you know, where, you know, what kind of training offerings and what the support offerings were. And that sales rep was able to go back to that customer and provide them additional detail and additional materials before they even asked. And that was one of those moments of truth, if you will, that he was able to manufacture in that scenario so that customer felt very good about the fact that we were able to anticipate their need and actually had all that stuff ready long before they even asked. And so it's that sort of thing that you can use in the B2B environment that can, you know, really help you improve your wins, improve your conversions of leads to opportunities, and likewise.
We have time for one or two more questions here. The next question is, how does the OMS work with social media, such as Facebook marketing?
So you can use the Facebook, any real third-party marketing and linking. Depending on what you're doing and how you're linking on those sites, if you're driving traffic back to your site, you can treat anything in Facebook as a campaign. And you can be tracking the kinds of people and what Facebook visitors are doing differently and be messaging. Now, you can combine that with social media monitoring really across any channel, like Twitter or what have you, and you can be tracking all of those third-party sources as campaigns coming back. Because ultimately, you need to collaborate with them on social media sites, but you also need to get them back and talking to you on your site. You need to be learning about them as well. So you can understand how that channel is different, what those particular users want, segment them very differently, and even offer them differentiated messaging, because in some cases, depending on how you're executing your Facebook and Twitter strategies, you may want to engage with them differently. You may want to have a different experience. So it's important to understand where they're coming from, what kind of campaign it is, and maybe you message with them completely differently. So it allows you to really track and understand people coming from that channel that also allow you to engage with them in a very different way.
Thank you. The next question here is, how important is testing?
It is way more important than anyone thinks it is. And what I mean by that is, I saw a survey from Ian Michaels at Aberdeen the other day that said that of the best of breed companies that he has surveyed over his last couple of years, 36% of companies are doing it, and 100% say they want to. Actually, that's not true. 99-point-something% said they want to, and that tells me that there's something in the way. Everyone thinks that it's a good idea. But when they get into it, they realize this is a little harder than I thought it was. And a lot of it has to do with that chasm I talked about earlier. Because as my example I talked about earlier about even our own experiences, what we think is the right answer is not always the right answer. And what you're doing is leaving money on the table. Your messaging isn't the best messaging it could be. While taking a little more time to maybe throw out a couple of options, even that option you just don't think is going to fly, and then it surprises the heck out of you that it is actually the best performing option. I have story after story after story of that scenario happening. And just spend a couple of minutes doing searches on testing, web testing optimization or A-B split testing, and you will see countless articles and blogs that talk about the power of testing. So I can't stress it enough. It is such an important point. And it just needs to be dead simple, though. And it has to not be in your way. I think the biggest problem with optimization and testing is it's this external, time-consuming, slows-you-down kind of thing. And that's why people don't do it enough. It needs to be just seamless and integrated and easy, because you should be doing way more of it than you're doing right now.
I believe we have time for one last question here. And the question is, in Sitecore's experience, has there been much pollution of data for GeoIP lookup about shared computers? Is it giving inaccurate results?
You know, that's yes and no. There's a small risk of that, only in the fact that in householding. In the business-to-business, no, it doesn't happen. It's not an issue. In a B2C world, there is some minor attributes that you can have. Is an issue that, but that is easily handled by some simple messaging of saying, is this not you, and allowing people to redirect and actually handling or doing householding in your site itself to let people have different users and different IDs. But it's in our experience, and we have some very large customers. We have some very large sites like Play.com in the UK, which is second only to Amazon, and some other very large scale sites doing this kind of thing, and they're not finding that same problem. And GeoIP, by the very nature of GeoIP, is really giving you location, and that doesn't change that much. I mean, you're not changing vastly if you're sharing a laptop. That the actual physical location doesn't change massively at all. The big place you'll use GeoIP from the name, the reverse lookup naming, is in B2B, and again, that's not so much of an issue in that space.
And thank you all. This concludes our webinar. I want to remind you that we'll be sending you the link to this presentation so you can pass it along to colleagues who may want to review it on demand. Darren, many thanks for this informative and useful session.
Thank you, and thank you, everyone. Have a great day.